So over the last few months or so, in our group that a couple of us meet on a weekly basis, we've been looking through the book of Jonah. And so we thought, what better thing to look through tonight, as it's easy and it's in my head anyway. Now, the Old Testament is quite difficult sometimes, and is quite difficult to get a talk out of and quite difficult to grasp. As a group, I think not only are we encouraged that we actually feel like we've got a good grasp on it, but we're also quite challenged throughout with certain things, and as my title for the sermon is, how are we like Jonah? And more importantly, how undeserving we are of God's grace and compassion. So as we saw from the wonderfully acted skit that we just had, Jonah was asked to go to Nineveh and tell them about God's word, God's news, and preach for him, because their wickedness had become greater than God, and they were putting that before God himself. He refused, tried to run away, went on a boat to Tarshish, the complete opposite way, thinking it would work and get away from God, which of course we all know it wouldn't, and it didn't. There was a storm on the boat. He was basically thrown overboard as a sacrifice. The sailors were terrified about what they had seen. You can imagine from one guy coming on, great storm, he's thrown overboard, the next minute everything is calm. Now, if I was a sailor, I'd be terrified. And they were, and it caused them to fear him even more. God provided a huge whale to swallow Jonah up, and in that he was in that for 3 days and three nights. Now, this kind of refers to Jesus in a way and the resurrection story. And it kind of shows Jonah to be a bit in the image of Jesus. So at the end of the skit, we see Jonah is thrown up and he decided to do what he was told in the first place and head to Nineveh. Despite all the corruption, despite all the issues that the people were causing, and that he himself was never too sure about. But he listened as he knew it as what he had to do. Now, just going back to chapter 3 in Jonah to provide a bit of context, he headed to Nineveh and he started to say, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And to Jonah's surprise, they listened to him and they started to take action. I don't think he was expecting them to listen, and I don't think he was really wanting them to listen. I think he had already prejudged them and assumed they were really bad, nasty people and were doing really bad things, thinking that they were too bad or too nasty to be saved. And that even though there was no news or TVs or radios or newspapers or anything, this was an assumption which he already knew and already knew that, considering there was nothing and he wouldn't have been there already. And we know that that isn't true. We know that no one is too bad or too nasty to be saved. Despite what we as people may think on our own, whether we prejudge people, pre-assume things, is God's power and God's love. He wants everyone to come to him and be with him forever. Which brings me to my first point. Hopefully this works. There we go. God shows grace and compassion. Now we know God is a very gracious and compassionate God, but in this book especially, I think we see it very well. In verse 2, as we look, Jonah, despite being very angry with God, and he made this very evident, he tells God that he is gracious and compassionate. Now, not that it happens a lot, as my mum and dad will say, but I can get angry, and angry with mum and dad. But if I'm angry with them, the last thing I'm going to want to do is talk to them. And despite Jonah being so angry, he still knows that God is gracious and God is compassionate. And he probably wouldn't want to have talked to him, but he still knows that it was what God is. And he knows that he has to say. Also in verse 6, Jonah had gone out east of the city to get some rest. It was a long way and he walked through Nineveh. I think it says about 3 days, three, 4 days. God provided a big plant to cover him up and shelter him and ease him from his discomfort. Now we've seen how Jonah had been acting, the way that he had rejected God, the way that he had disobeyed God, and shoving him to one side. In his hour of need, Jonah was in pain and discomfort. God helps him. God gave him the shelter which he needed. Now that is like us sometimes. I think if there are hard points, if there are low points that we may be in, I think we can forget that God is always with us, whether we know it or not, and whether we think it in that split second or in that time that we are low, God is always there. We can always talk to him. We can read the Bible, but we can pray to him and ask him for help. Furthermore, he didn't bring destruction down on the Ninevites, which is what he once said he was going to do, which then caused Jonah to be even more angry because, as I said, he assumed that they were too bad, which of course God wanted them to be saved. And in verse 1, to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. Now this brings us on to point number 2, which I've called Jonah the Moaner. Nice, easy to remember. Now it's a pretty accurate subtitle sort of to the whole book, I think, as a whole. He moaned in the first place about having to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go. He tried to get away. He tried to flee. But God showed, he went, and God showed compassion on them, which really just tips him over the edge. In verse 3, he said to God, "Now, Lord, take my life away, for it is better for me to die than to live." Now, in times when I am frustrated, or whenever we are frustrated, if ever there are things that are that bad, at no point have I ever thought, "God, I'm so angry with this, I'd rather die. You know, this is just, there's no way getting back from this." Now, I don't think, personally, it was right for Jonah to be so angered by God. And knowing that God is gracious and compassionate, that we've seen, in a way, why didn't Jonah see this coming? God's power and the way that he works in people is something that not only can we never truly understand, but it's something that can never be underestimated. And even if, like the Ninevites and the town of Nineveh, if it's filled with wickedness. Now, can we be like this sometimes, getting angry with God when really it's not right to? More importantly, though, like Jonah eventually did, and what he was told to do in the first place, do we share God's love and do we share God's word with everyone? Like Jonah, we are called by God and by Jesus to do outreach and do work, whether it's in local communities, helping out with the Friday clubs we run, the holiday clubs, or whether it's like Darcy going to Guatemala for 4 months, or like the people on the board being in different countries and helping people that are really in desperate need. And it's a difficult thing to do sometimes, and especially with how things are in the world, through fear of being judged by what people are going to say, or thinking we're not going to have all the answers to what people might ask. But that is okay. We're not always going to have all the answers. We've got the Bible, we can pray to God, we can ask for strength and come back to those people. Now, thankfully, not too much in this country, but there are a lot of places in the world where Christians are persecuted for their faith. They're no different to us in sharing their love for God. It's scary, it's not fair, it's not right that they are. But knowing this can make it really challenging for us to want to go and share God's word, as we just don't know what's going to happen. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus says to his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." And as fellow disciples of Jesus here tonight, and as children of God, we are told to go out and proclaim his word to others. Everyone deserves to hear his word, and everyone really needs to hear his word. And as children, it is down to us, and it is our responsibility to go and tell people about that. So does this make us like Jonah? Are we actually going to listen to what God has told us to do? And are we going to go and tell people about the amazing news of God sending his son to die on the cross for us, having us to have eternal life? Or are we going to run from God's orders, flee and ignore that, and not give some of the best news people could ever hear?